Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Hi, Joe. Nice to see you. Joe Fortunato pushing all the buttons this evening, and I mean all of the buttons. And welcome in. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show all across the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Phone line 800-355-NFL-1. If you're listening here in Jacksonville, it's simply 355-NFL-1. We got a packed show for you this evening. Probably still find a little time for you to get in and talk with the coach. Hello, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Brian?
Very good. Nice to see you, Linda Del Rio, in with us, and Beth Handline from Dance Trance. Talk a little bit about what the Jack Del Rio Foundation has been doing over the summer and what you're going to finish the summer with. But we're going to start with football.
Okay.
2 days in.
Let's do it.
2 days in. Got that little smile on your face. You're back at it.
Yeah, that's why I have the smile.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, no, it's, listen, we snuck in, you know, last night, put the pads on, had a little fun with it, kind of an unannounced. We really did a shorts practice, you know, it was the format didn't change, the things we're going to work on, but the guys were so anxious. From the morning practice, there was just a lot of physical work, so I just thought we'd be better served to have the pads on.
You're going out there tonight at 7 o'clock. Pads on tonight?
Shells.
Okay.
Yeah, the tops and the thigh boards. And yeah, we'll have a good night tonight, be a good physical night. And then tomorrow night's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. You ready to announce matchups yet? Have you knocked those down? Can you give us one?
Well, I have consulted with Vic, you know.
Man, did you play to his ego.
It's become an annual. I mean, it really has become an annual. He gives me a couple, you know, thoughts. And
how many of them do you actually put together?
The ones I agree with? we're thinking along the same lines. I think, you know, the big storyline, look, if Monroe makes it, it's going to be Monroe Harvey right off the top. I mean, you know that.
If Monroe makes it, first night in camp, you're going to put him out there in Oklahoma drill? All right.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I'm not feeling real optimistic about it.
I was just about to ask you if you're hinting to us that you thought that.
I mean,
might
just
happen.
Doesn't. I don't see a lot of encouraging developments. You know, I don't have anything to report. I just, you know, I thought tonight I'd be able to say, yeah, he's on the way, and yeah, he'll be out here tonight. But
it's really the only glitch to your entire offseason, and it was one that you had to know was coming. When you draft in that top 10, you have to be patient.
I guess.
I mean, it happened last year. It seems to happen to everybody in the top 10. There's such a few number of those guys in camp right now.
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation. I think when you look at the reality of where the market is.
Right.
I mean, the real market, right. not the dreamland market.
You're talking about the Dow Jones.
Yeah, the Dow Jones, unemployment. I mean, the reality of it's a tough market right now. And to look at trying to get, you know, substantial increases over what was last year, it just doesn't make sense to me. But, hey, don't ask, don't get. But I think, you know, nothing wrong with asking. But at some point, the reality is going to set in that Mr. Weaver's not going to operate that way. And then the guy's going to come in.
355-NFL-1, if you'd like to join us on the program, 355-6351. You know, speaking of that, you spent all last summer, all of August, waiting on Derek Harvey to get in. And he got in right before the very last preseason game. You haven't really had pads on yet. But what are your aspirations
for
this year?
What do you mean we didn't have pads on yet?
Well, I mean, you did have pads on last night, but you've had one practice in pads. What have you seen from Harvey this offseason, this week?
I've seen him, which is good.
I figured you're number 91.
First off, he's been here, you know, which has been nice.
You make this show so easy sometimes.
No, but I mean, when I say that, I mean because the whole offseason, you know, all spring,
right?
You know, all the OTAs, we've seen him. He's been here. He's been working hard. So, you know, he's given himself a chance from a conditioning standpoint to come in and now have a productive camp. And so, you know, we're one day in. So, but that's what he's done. I mean, he's been here, so we feel good about the work, the body of work that he's put in, the commitment that he's made to his teammates, to the training. And so now here he is, and he's ready to work. And we've got a long way to go, but I like the way he's approached it thus far.
Let's take our first break. We'll come back another segment with the head coach, and then we'll talk to Mrs. Del Rio. And Beth Handline from Dan Strands. Take your calls. Get you ready for practice this evening, 7 o'clock out on the practice fields. Don't miss it, ladies and gentlemen. Just like you don't miss this show, the Jack Del Rio Show, here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. This portion of Jack Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. Johnstown Center. All right, this is the question you get asked every single day after practice. Who caught your eye? So in the first two practices yesterday and count the special teams workout today, anybody stand out to you? I mean, anybody do anything special?
Clint Ingram.
Really? You were talking about him last week, which is why I'm laughing, because I mean, you almost predicted it.
Well, he had a great hit last night.
Really?
Anybody that showed up and watched the team portion of practice saw it. I mean, he laid out Alvin Pearman on a little check through. And on that same play, Julius Williams ran over the left tackle. So, I mean, it was two physical plays defensively. So there'll be some of that in this camp. It's going to be a spirited camp.
You know, when I asked some of these guys, just some of the scouts and personnel people, give me someone to look for. And almost everyone has said Julius Williams.
Have they?
Undrafted from UConn. He and the Alexander kid, the linebacker from Russell Allen. From San Diego State,
yes,
were the two names that come up the most. You know, I mean, everyone knows what to expect from a lot of your frontline guys, but when you're looking at an undrafted linebacker from San Diego State or an undrafted defensive end from UConn, that's a little nugget.
Well, that, and I think those two, and then the other that I'm curious about to watch him as camp goes on is Rashad Jennings, you know, seventh-round running back. I think those three players, you know, all spring did things to make us go, I can't wait for the pads to get on. So now here we are.
You know, I know you don't like to make comparisons, but when I see him with that long, he's fast now. He's got that long gait. He reminds me a little bit of Eddie George.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I know that's high praise, but he's long and he's got that long gait, and I see him running in the field, and I think, wow, that looks just like the guy
tough.
That used to
You're
run.
You're talking about a guy that just, you know, Eddie George.
I understand.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner, Ohio State, all the pedigree.
I'm not saying he's going to be as good, although he could. I'm just saying I see this big body running physically,
right,
and I'm impressed with the way that he does. Of course, I always like to used to watch Eddie, so maybe I'm trying to make the comparison. But
well, you know, I would say this. That's an awful lot to bite off. But I would say that he has shown signs throughout the spring of being better than where we selected him, and we'll see. You know, when we put the pads on, he'll get an opportunity. We're excited about getting a look at him, and he's a very intelligent young man. He's come in here with a mature attitude. Those are usually good signs, you know, when you come in like that, a la Rasheen Mathis.
Right. Grab a quick phone call. We'll go to David down in St. Augustine. David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to just put in a comment on Eugene Monroe's situation. As much as I'd love to see him here and up and running, I'm really proud the way the organization in the front office is really being steadfast with what they're doing. I mean, you know, especially with the way things are with ticket sales and just the overall, you know, climate of the economy, you know, maintaining fiscal responsibility is the one thing that's really going to keep this team up and running. And you know, I just hope that things work out the best. I mean, it'll get done sooner or later, but I'm just glad that they're sticking to the guns. But, Coach, I wanted to ask you, with Mel Tucker coming in, I don't know if he called the plays defensively in Cleveland, or, you know, what I'm getting at is, are you planning on doing that? Because I think that with Mike Smith, I guess he was probably calling the plays on defense the last couple of years he was here, and I felt like he did an excellent job of doing that. And I think that having us in the right plays, whether it's defending a pass player, defending a running play, it's instrumental in, you know, the success of the defense. I was just wondering who's basically going to be calling the plays on defense this year, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, David, appreciate the call. A couple of good points. I think, first of all, you know, the fiscally responsible Jags, I think we're going to be that. I think it makes sense. And I think with us being a smaller market team, I think we have to make good, solid business decisions and spend wisely. And And I think Mr. Weaver has been very clear with where he's going with the negotiations. So, you know, that's all been laid out there. So I remain hopeful, and we'll just see when that settles itself. But in terms of moving on with the defense and having Mel Tucker here, I'm really excited about it. I think that Mike Smith and I had a great relationship because Mike was a real good people person, and he and I had a real clear understanding of what we were doing. I think we bring in a guy in Mel that is the same kind of guy that's in it to be here with the Jaguars, you know, supporting me and helping our football team win any way he can. I just think he's a good fit. And so we're excited about what we're putting together. It'll be exactly like it was when Smitty was here. I mean, that's, you know, the way we're going to set it up with Mel. He's our defensive coordinator, and I will have, you know, close contact and direct input into the defense. Very much have my hands in it and my hands on, and work very closely with the entire defensive staff, including Mel Tucker. But I'm excited about the addition of Mel Tucker. I think he's a good coach and a good man for the job.
355-NFL-1. We'll try and squeeze at least one more call in with the coach. You know, a couple of guys that stood out today, out defensively. Well, of course, we haven't seen it today. I meant yesterday when I got out there watching some of the defensive backs that really kind of grabbed your attention. I thought Reggie Nelson looked really fluid and athletic. I mean, he always has, but he looked right. Like he really has benefited from being in this this new weight and conditioning program that you put in place this year.
I think the offseason he had was strong. I think also the the experience, you know, he's had a little experience now. I think that helps. And then I just really believe that, you know, the things we're doing are going to play to his strength. And I believe that, and you like to believe that every year, but I believe that we're doing the right things with our players to put him in position to make plays. We'll have some multiplicity. We want to be, we want to have an offense dial us in. But
right.
I think Reggie's poised to do a good job and help us really play a lot better in the back end.
And the rookie Derek Cox had a couple of passes that he broke up the other night.
Yeah, he was even out of position. But the speed and the length that he has, he was able to flip his hip and go ahead and accelerate and make plays that, as he gets better, those are interceptions.
All right, one final call for the coach. Then he needs to get moving towards practice. And we have John on the south side. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, John?
Good. Wanted to see how's Trey Thomas looking, and is he basically going to be the starter, or is Eugene Monroe really going to have to blow you out of the water to unseat him as the starter this year?
Well, Trey's had a great offseason. You know, he came in here, and really, we knew we were getting a pro, but we knew we were getting a guy that was big, but he's really put together a heck of an offseason. He is stronger and fitter and ready to roll, more so than I really even anticipated. And so he's going to be fighting for a spot along the line somewhere, whether it's left or right. I don't know for sure. If Eugene doesn't come in and do some things at left side, obviously he's ready to man down the left side. If Eugene was awesome on the left, there's even a chance we can move Trey to the right. I just think Trey's played in this league too long at a high level, and he's committed to playing well this year. It's going to be hard to keep him off the field.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Actually, we're done with you, Coach. I know you got to get out there.
I do. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.
It's good to be on my show.
Well, we think so, too.
I'm going to turn it over to the captain, my wife.
Yeah, the boss.
See you guys.
We'll see you next Tuesday night. That's head coach Jack Del Rio. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what the Jack Del Rio Foundation has been doing in Jacksonville and what they're going to be doing with Dance Trance over the next month. Join us, 355-NFL-1. And we're back after this on the WOK, actually, on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the good folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. And as the coach was walking out, he was telling me to ask Linda Del Rio. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And Beth Handline from Dance Trance. How are you, Beth?
Thank you. I'm great.
To ask you how you beat him in picking winners on Sundays.
Okay. We've been in the league probably 21 years.
At least.
And I've beat him every year. And this is how I beat him. I look at the cutest quarterback.
Come on.
Seriously.
No way.
You guys way overthink the process.
Yeah.
Cutest quarterback, you know, cutest receiver, you know.
So when Jack is nice working until midnight, tell him you don't need to. It's just real simple.
Yeah. Nice uniforms, best cheerleader routines. You know, I look at the whole process a whole different way than you guys do.
Seriously. Is that really how you do it?
No, I really do.
You know, that just goes to show that there's a lot more chance involved in this game than anyone wants
well,
to
give credit
for.
Well, they're all pros, so they have talent.
That's true. So when you even it all out, you got to go down to the non-traditional ways of picking winners.
Exactly.
All right. I'm not even going to ask you. Will you come back on the show before the first game?
Sure.
And we'll ask you to go through it, and we'll get Jack to go through it, and we'll monitor it.
You got it. He brings home the whole season already. I already have it.
And how many weeks ahead do you pick?
One week ahead.
1 week at a time. Okay.
Yes.
So you're just like him.
But I could
totally
go ahead and
focused.
Pick the whole season, but injuries come into that.
I love the way you think. You guys have been really busy with the Del Rio Foundation.
We have, yes.
The Dance Trance events, and we've seen them on television, and players are there. Between the two of you, how did the idea come up?
Well, first of all, Beth and Jay Handline own these great dance studios with their exercise studios all over the United States. It's not just here in Jacksonville. And they have been very, very generous in donating their studio and their time and promoting these four classes, a series of four classes, to raise funds for four different children's charities in the Northeast Florida region. Beth has been wonderful. Jay started the classes. Beth's helped me promote them. And the classes are so much fun. I think everybody that has shown up that had never even taken a class just to kind of see what it was or to support American Cancer Society, just to show up just to support it, has loved the class. So right. She's done a great job doing that as well.
And how's it been for you dealing with these professional athletes that are very gifted on a football field, but maybe not so much on a dance floor?
It's quite entertaining.
You have hidden cameras?
I have to give them kudos, though. They did very exceptionally well. I was amazed to see what rhythm they had. And I think they really had a good time, which is what the charity classes are all about. It's not about learning, you know, technique or form. It's about just getting out there and having a blast.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the best dancer?
Oh, me. A Jack.
Okay. Now, besides Jack, who was the best dancer?
We actually, the rookies were made to dance the longest, so I think I'm going to go with them.
Okay.
But Jack really tore it up. He stayed in there, I think, about the whole hour on the last class. Am I right, Linda?
Yeah, he did.
And the guys just had a good time. You know, they got in there, it gets hot and sweaty. They're shaking it down. I mean, it's really fun.
We had a player come, the last one, Todd, all four of the players were dancing, and I turned to Todd and I said, Todd, that is awesome. I mean, you are rocking and rolling. He said, well, I lived in Nebraska, and I had to go to my sister's dance classes. So it was either take the class or watch the class. So
Todd
took
Peterson, the
yes!
wide receiver from Nebraska. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was great.
Might as well learn it.
That's what he said.
And so you're doing this next Wednesday night.
Next Wednesday night.
At
San Marco location.
Okay, mm-hmm. Which is right around the corner from here.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it is a class where everybody can come in and just have fun. There's no need to be intimidated or scared of these classes. It's all about the charities and raising awareness and money for them. So just come in, you know, and try it out and just throw down with the rest of them. It doesn't matter.
There's no need to be intimidated.
There's no need to.
But people are.
I'm sure they are. And a lot of people, and the players were. You should have seen them. Yeah. They were scared to get in there. But once
you've got
you
one
get
of these right around the corner from me, I don't think you could drag me in.
Well, you have to come in, and if you just see it, I guarantee you're going to be on the
floor.
Well,
the one on the 24th is out in Neptune Beach. I'll definitely be there for
definitely
that.
Definitely come.
We're
going to
get a photo of you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I say.
No, that's a bag over the head. No one can identify for sure. But when you came up with the concept, the idea was to raise money for the charities that you've been working with, right?
Exactly.
American Cancer Society, Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, and the first one was for Cathedral Arts. And what happened was Cathedral Arts is one of the charities that we grant to.
They're a wonderful group.
They are. And I owned a dance studio. I danced in New York and Los Angeles. So I've always loved to do that in every city that I've been to. Well, I wanted to support Cathedral Arts. I went to their program, watched what they did, loved what they did, and I said, this fits perfect with Dance Trance. Let's raise some money for them. And that's right. How it got started. So we did them first, and then these next two are national charities. And next Wednesday night's from 7 to 8 o'clock at San Marco location.
So do you see this, and do you see it in your other, do you have other NFL cities where you are? I mean, do you see this growing and becoming a league-wide?
No, we're in Sarasota, Birmingham.
Oh, okay, yeah, no other NFL teams.
Richmond.
But
yeah,
it sounds
so really not. We're the biggest and the best right here in Jacksonville.
Well,
so.
But it sounds like I could see Smitty out there doing it in Atlanta. I mean, it sounds like something that you could take to other coaches around the league because it's unique. I mean, right. Everybody has a golf tournament.
Right.
You know, there's fishing tournaments. There's all kinds of events. This is a unique opportunity to interact with coaches and players and people in
right.
a different setting.
You know what? And I can attest to how good it is because Buffy Anderson, her husband Ray Anderson, is Roger Goodell's attorney.
Absolutely.
They come down every year. She goes to class with me, and she has been looking for a class in Manhattan as good as the one she took with me last fall. So that goes to show how wonderful it is.
There's a business opportunity for you there.
So, you know, it is a fabulous workout, and they do have a really great program.
All right, so next Wednesday in San Marco, what time?
7 p.m. I would get there early. It gets really crowded, so I would come about 6:30. You can talk to the cheerleaders. They'll be there.
Jacksonville, is that what you said, Lynn?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interact with them. We do have tanks that we're giving out for a $30 or more donation. You can get the tanks. You can get all of the Jacksonville League people to sign it. So
put me down for a $30 donation for a tank for Joe.
I would love to see him in a tank.
Yep, he needs one. Count me in. Will you stick around for one more segment? I want to just ask you about your summer.
Sure.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back more with Linda Del Rio. Beth Handline is here from Dance Trance next Wednesday and Monday the 24th, dancing with the Jack Del Rio Foundation. We'll come back right after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Delighted to have Linda Del Rio with us this evening as Jack has gone out to practice, and Beth Handline from Dance Trance, where the Jack Del Rio Foundation has been partnering to help charities both local and national. Today you had a bunch of kids out for an ice cream social, and I was out there this morning. Man, ice cream would have hit the spot. It was so unbelievably hot and humid on the field. Who was it for? How did it go? I saw lots of smiles from under the tent.
Yeah, Bluebell Ice Cream was generous enough to donate the ice cream. Lauren, our daughter's executive director, we had kids from the Big Brothers Big Sisters program and their sponsors. We had several kids that are in the ROC program for American Cancer Society that are in treatment with chemo right now.
Okay.
And we had all the kids from Seamark Ranch out, and they had a great time. They watched practice, ate ice cream, water, Gatorade, and then after interacted with the players, had had autograph time, talked to them, and then Jack brought him into the locker room and talked to him about staying healthy and eating right. And
they'll never forget that.
Right. It was
they
a good
will
thing.
Never forget that.
It was a good thing.
You know, as much as the Oklahoma drill tomorrow night has become a tradition around Camp Del Rio here, the ice cream social has too, the chance for those kids to come out and experience it firsthand.
Yeah, last year we did just the Seamark kids, and this year we decided to extend it to two more groups that could benefit and have fun. I think the kids truly enjoyed it.
All right, speaking of having fun,
yes,
you get a couple of weeks in the summer to detox from football. You guys went to Italy.
We did.
To Rome.
We did.
And Jack was beaming about his trip to the Vatican.
Yeah.
What was Italy like for you guys? And does he really get away from it?
He does totally get away from it. And it's kind of a lifelong dream. We're Catholic. And so I planned this trip 2 years ago and decided to put it off last year. We went this year, took seven of us, our whole family, and did 4 days in Rome, Oviedo, Florence, and Venice, and had a beautiful time. Saw the Pope twice.
You saw Vespers Mass too.
Vespers Mass, the last day at St. Paul outside the walls with the Pope, all the cardinals, and you know, right where St. Paul was buried. So it was really special, and prayed for the Jaguars at that time. Take the opportunity with the Pope, with St. Paul. Right. And then when we left Rome, beautiful time in Florence, and then another highlight was in Venice. We got to hear Andrea Bocelli live in San Marco Square.
Wow.
Got the last cafe table for seven. It was just like a blessing. It was wonderful.
And did you take everybody with you?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it was kind of a gift to our kids. You know, they're in high school. They've all had art history.
Right.
And it was a beautiful trip.
Want a gift to you guys, too, to be able to go and take your family and spend that kind of quality time.
Yeah. All it makes you do is want to go back.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, and you guys were out in, was it Tahoe?
Yes.
For a little golf tournament also?
Yeah. He played in the American Century.
And how did he do?
He did okay. He can do better. We, you know, our flight was canceled going out, so he didn't get a practice round. But, boy, it's just a beautiful tournament.
A great venue.
It was.
So a couple of weeks away from football, then he's chomping at the bit to come back.
Yes.
And you're probably chomping at the bit to get him back. Because that football energy starts rolling.
It's about 2 weeks before the season begins, my kids start looking at me cross-eyed, and we're like, okay, two more weeks. Because he does. He gets that linebacker stare going.
Right. That never goes away.
I know.
That never goes
Very
away.
Very true.
It was great to have you in tonight.
Thank you very
much.
Please
do not have, don't
be a
stranger.
Our pleasure being here. Thank you, Beth, for
Absolutely.
Coming.
Thank you for having me. I
Next Wednesday.
It. Absolutely.
$30 donation gets Joe a pink tee.
We can
they're
get
black.
Pink
oh,
on special
black.
Order. Okay. That's not a problem.
If you could find one, Joe actually would wear it. And then on the 24th out at Neptune Beach?
Yes.
Done deal.
Yeah, you're
going to
be on that one.
I will come out to that one.
Good.
I am not promising to get anywhere near a camera, but I will definitely come out.
It's a lot of fun. You'll have a blast.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thanks for coming, too.
Thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up with a little football here on the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars fans, you can enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realties. Take it to the house drawing. One winner is chosen for each home game, and that person and a guest will receive tickets, a parking pass, and the chance to win $50,000. So log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Brian Sexton back with you. We'll go till straight up 7 o'clock here. And if you're thinking about coming down for practice, the weather looks a little bit iffy at this point, but they'll do their best to get it in tonight. And if the Lightning is all the way past, tomorrow night, the Oklahoma drill. I don't know that anything is set in stone. Jack likes to keep it fluid. You heard him mention if Eugene Monroe makes his way in, but he's not necessarily holding on a lot of hope for that, that it will be Monroe versus Harvey. Last year's one versus this year's one. That's the ease storyline. We'd love to see Terrence Knighton, the young third-round defensive tackle, line up against Vinny Monowai. Not going to happen. Knighton will go out there for sure because he's a big guy and he's young and they want to see that, but they're not going to put Vinny Monowai in that situation. I think Vinny looks very good, very mobile. I think physically he looks as good as he has at any point in his career here, to be honest with you, coming back from the ACL that he tore on opening day last year. But they're not going to risk it in that kind of a situation with Vinny. But if you're looking for a guy to follow through camp this summer, Vinny Monowai is probably the guy. You know, in 2007, he deserved a Pro Bowl berth, probably deserved at least second-team All-Pro, but didn't get either one of them. And last year, I think the thought around the league was this is the year that Vinny Monowai establishes himself behind Steve Hutchinson, maybe, although I don't know. There are some people that would say that, but most folks think that Steve Hutchinson, the former Seahawk and the current Minnesota Vikings, maybe the best offensive guard in the league. But right there with him would be Vinny Monowai, and of course, lost in the opening day tussle with the Tennessee Titans and never did get back out on the field, but looks like he is ready to step up and play. When you look at this Jacksonville offensive line, back are Mo Williams, the right guard, who was also lost that day. He was lost before the first kickoff. Worked his arm, the bicep tendon, in the pregame and never got on the field that day or all season long. So he's back and Vinny's back at guard. Meester is back at center. You've got Uche Nwaneri, who was at guard most of last season as Vinny's replacement. Dennis Norman is the backup center there. You bring Trey Thomas in to compete with Eugene Monroe and Tony Pachos and Evan Britton. The offensive line is the place to watch here now, because last year it was such a black hole for the Jaguars. They just couldn't ever reestablish what they had in 2007 without the heart of their line. Monowai, Meester, and Williams. And as a result, and then Khalif Barnes did not play well. And Tony Pachos, who is a run-blocking, road-grading tackle, you know, had to become a pass-blocking tackle because they couldn't run the ball very well. And so he really didn't have a very good season. And now all of a sudden, you introduce a couple of rookies, high draft picks. You bring some of the veterans back, and if Monowai is ready to take that step back towards being a Pro Bowler, that might be too much to expect coming back off the ACL. But Vinny was always a very talented guy, extremely powerful. In fact, I remember a couple of plays on opening day before he was injured where he was throwing Albert Haynesworth around like a rag doll. And Haynesworth, in fact, was winded, gassed. It was a very hot day, too. That had something to do with it. But Monowai was pushing him all over the field that day. So you're talking about a guy with all the potential in the world to be able to get it done. So you bring these guys back, give them the opportunity to compete and play. And not only do you have good young tackles, but you also have good young depth. And that should reestablish the running game. I know Jack scoffed at the Eddie George comparison, but Rashad Jennings is a 6'2", 240-pounder. I think he's got better speed than George did. I don't know that he's got the power, but I haven't seen him play in pads, so I'm interested to see that. The Jaguars' running game is going to be their strength again this year, as it was in 2007, if that line competes like they did in the 2007 season, and I think you've got more talent here now. So Let's take a break. We will return. Joe Fortunato with a breaking news update. Dan Edwards, CEO of the Jaguars, Senior Vice President of Communications and Media, just put his head inside the studio door and whispered what to you?
That practice is temporarily on hold due to the weather.
All right, folks. So I said it was a bit sketchy. It is sketchy at this point, and it is on hold. If we get an update for you before we sign off here at the top of the hour, we will certainly pass it along to you. But at this point, the weather is diminishing the potential for practice to at least start on time. We'll take a break and return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show right after this quick timeout. You're listening on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars fans, once again this season, you could vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game, and it's all part of First Down, Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for all the details. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with executive producer Joe Fortunato. The coach was with us early. He is now awaiting the weather to roll through to see if he can get his team out on the practice field tonight. And Linda Fortunato. Linda's not with us tonight. Linda Del Rio was with us tonight. And Beth Handline from Dance Trance to share some thoughts on the Jack Del Rio Foundation and their efforts this summer. Two more events they asked me to remind you once again. Next Wednesday in San Marcos, 7 o'clock, and 3 weeks from last night, the foundation is out in Neptune Beach.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the weather tonight and practice being on hold. Tomorrow night is the night to be here.
Yeah, so if you're going to come out to practice, it's the Oklahoma drill.
Now, I was watching National Guys this morning on television when
What's
I got
that?
Up. It was Mike and Mike.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
And they brought National Guys was a show.
And they brought up the Oklahoma drill. And said how no one really is doing it. And Del Rio, by name, as being one who still is doing this, and for the same reason you – I don't want to tease your Jaguars report for tomorrow.
But go ahead.
But that's what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, it's guys that it's money. I mean, yeah. You've got a lot of hide-up.
You've got
Benny
a lot
Mottawai,
of you know? Can't have people slamming into each other and getting hurt during practice.
But
that's bad. But either way, it's fun, exciting. Golic said he loved it when it happened. He'd love to light people up.
Sure.
And that's
and the fans
what you're going
too.
To see tomorrow.
You know, and I – two summers ago, there it was a beautiful evening, and I remember distinctly that a fire truck from JFRD pulled up behind the stands, and they raised the ladder, and they had a flag hanging from it, and they had firemen sitting on the steps of the ladder all the way up, and you saw the stands full, and I couldn't help but think that that was a photo that belonged in, you know, football in America.
Yes.
I mean, it was one of those moments, you know, in 15 years of being around here, that I'll never forget, and it wasn't the action on the field, it was the fans and their love for the Oklahoma drill and for football. I thought it said a lot about Jacksonville that for the Oklahoma drill, the folks would come out in droves.
And now that the bleachers have been moved up a little bit, and you're a little bit closer, it'll be pretty cool. So if you can, get here tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot of fun. And the one thing, and I don't know whether Jack's listening or not, move all of the players well behind it. Line them up in a straight line. Don't let them curve around and watch.
Right.
Because then the fans on the sides never get to see. And last year, I remember a lot of people were disappointed because they couldn't see because the players just naturally crowded around to see. Keep them back. Let the fans see.
The best thing, though, was 2 years ago. Who, and I forget the player who lined up and threw the Snickers bars
Marcellus
down.
Marcellus Wiley with his former Buffalo Bills teammate, Mike Williams. Big Mike, who was the third or fourth overall pick in the draft with the Bills. And a massive human being, you know, 6'6 and 375 pounds, allegedly. And never could get his weight under control. By the way, he is in camp with the Washington Redskins again. But came out with the baby Ruth and threw it at the feet of Mike Williams. And, you know, there's some drama to it, right? I mean, Marcellus is on. Is he on ESPN or NFL Network? I forget which one he's on. But, I mean, he had some theatrical qualities.
ESPN,
right. And so he came out and threw it out and played to the crowd, and it lit everybody up. That's all
I
remember. I
remember that
won.
It was him. If he was the guy, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Oh, you didn't like Marcellus, huh?
You know.
My thing with him was I don't remember how he did. I don't remember whether Big Mike won or whether Marcellus won. I mean, the only thing you remember is him throwing the candy bar.
But none of them want to lose. I mean, they don't want to get shown up, especially by a rookie.
No, absolutely not. So it'll be fun. Tomorrow night, shortly after practice begins, 7 o'clock, weather permitting. And, you know, this time of year, the weather is almost always a factor. Let's go ahead and take our final break of the evening. Come back and wrap up Jack Del Rio Show number 2 here on Jaguars Radio. Back to wrap up this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, if you're here in Jacksonville tomorrow night, the final one-hour edition of Jaguars This Week with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, and myself. That's at 6 o'clock, which means that next Wednesday night, we break out the two-hour version. We should have plenty to talk about. Not only the Jaguars have the Oklahoma drill tomorrow and get into the pad, Saturday night, there'll be a scrimmage here at the stadium. That's another tradition that Del Rio has brought to Jacksonville. It's in its seventh edition now. Saturday night, 7:30 in the stadium. Concession stands and restrooms will be open, totally free for you and your family to come out. You know it's not a hand-on-the-ground type of scrimmage. Jack Del Rio does have a scoring system that he uses. It is a glorified practice, but it's a lot of fun. It's more live than what you normally see on the practice field, and plus it's just, again, one of those things where you get out and you get an opportunity to spend some time with your family in the stadium, and for no cost, it's a fun night. One of those, you know, first week of camp is over, time to get ready for the first preseason game. And by the way, the Jaguars preseason begins 2 weeks from yesterday, Monday night the 17th in Miami, and that will be on CBS 47. By now you know that the home preseason games will not be broadcast, but the road games at Miami and at Philadelphia will be. Of course, every game, blacked out or not, you will hear right here on WOKV and all across our radio network. You can count on us week in and week out. Jeff will join me. Joe will be there.
Hey, including, don't forget the scrimmage. We are going to broadcast that.
Oh, we are?
Yes. You'll be here Saturday night.
7:30, we start?
Yes. Yeah.
And how long are we going? Hour?
Long till you get. Till you say, look, I'm really getting tired of looking at these guys' practice field goal.
So like 7:40. So we'll be on 10 minutes on Saturday night, folks. No problem at all, and it'll be the best 10 minutes of radio.
Figure 9 o'clock.
You'll find, how about 8:30?
Maybe 8:30.
All right, how about an hour? All right, well, we'll just see how it goes. It's lighthearted and fun. In fact, maybe we'll just grab a couple of fans and bring them up into the booth also, you know? Why not? It's one of those nights where you just sort of let it all hang out and enjoy the first week of camp, and it's fun. 14th summer camp here in Jacksonville. And I was talking to Ryan Robinson of the Jaguars communications and public relations team, and he was talking about how tight it is in that locker room. You know, Jack moved his team out of their locker room, the big comfy locker room with the couches and the TVs and the sauna, moved them across the hall to the north locker room, which is what the college teams use. It's the cheerleaders' locker room on game day here, and it is the I think probably the Bulldogs or the Gators' locker room when those two teams play here. But they're tight. And I was thinking, no way it's as tight as it was in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, back in 1995, with the hard concrete metal floor and the old metal clanging lockers from a Division III football program. I mean, you want to talk about tight? When guys wanted to reach into their locker and had to bend over to do something, they'd ask somebody to move out of their way. The old days. They'll never come back, but they'll never go away either. Thanks for joining us this evening, folks. It was a pleasure to be with you every Tuesday night from here through the end of the season. The Jack Del Rio Show airs on WOKV and the WOKV Jaguars Football Network. Good night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.